you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, and hear from the minds transforming healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more with the help of AI. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Tracy from Stuff You Missed in History Class. Are you a small business owner or even someone who dreams of entrepreneurship? Then check out Season 2 of Mind the Business, small business success stories from iHeart Podcasts and Intuit QuickBooks. Join hosts Austin Hankwitz and Janice Torres as they interview entrepreneurs sharing insights around starting and nurturing a small business. You won't want to miss these inspiring stories of entrepreneurship and discovering ways to business differently so you can too.
Let's clear out winter and clean up the lawn with Spring Black Friday savings at the Home Depot. Right now, get the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower for just $89 and make your lawn work easier with a powerful 90 miles an hour of clearing power. And with convenient online shopping, you can order on the app, pick up in store, and get outside sooner. Get your yard spring ready with the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower, now just $89 during Spring Black Friday at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like Eco Eye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feelin' Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
Welcome to Stuff You Missed in History Class, a production of iHeartRadio.
Hello and happy Friday. I'm Tracy V. Wilson.
And I'm Holly Fry.
One of our episodes this week was about Teresa de Cartagena, who I was very excited about because I love the medieval women writers, as I said. Most of whom are writing in some kind of a religious context, but I also love that part too. It is incredibly different from my own experience, but I always find their work so fascinating. And Teresa de Cartagena is one that I don't think I had really heard of until I stumbled across her looking for something completely different. And I was like, wait, I've never heard of this particular nun. I'm very intrigued by this whole story. One of the things that really interests me about her is that I found several sources from places like Gallaudet University, people who have studied deaf history, who talk about her as one of the sort of the foremothers of deaf culture and one of the earliest voices in deaf history in what's now Spain. But some of the ways that she writes about her own disability while totally making sense in the time are also ideas that people find damaging today, which
right.
makes it kind of complicated.
Well, and I think that's one of the things anytime we talk about somebody with a disability who writes about it, particularly if they write about it as eloquently as she did, is still one person's experience. And it may not be the beneficial viewpoint for other people experiencing that same disability. That's like always the trick when we look at historical figures.
Yeah. Just in my own personal life, I know multiple people, including multiple people in my own family, who have some kind of a disability or a chronic illness and have just taken a lot of comfort and support in their religious faith related to all of that. But then I also know people who are maybe not religious or maybe have been religious and aren't anymore or whatever, and just find it incredibly harmful if they're talking about their disability and somebody says, well, this will bring you closer to God. Like, please do not use this episode as a reason to do that, because it can be really harmful and upsetting to people.
Yeah. First of all, every human is having their own experience, and you can't really apply anyone else's. Sometimes other people's experience and viewpoints will be helpful and comforting, but other times, not so much. So you can never assume.
Yeah. I'm hopeful that more things about her will eventually be unearthed, because those two petitions sort of showing up in a doctoral thesis in 2001, they give me some hope that there maybe is more detail out there that we might be able to piece together a little bit more about her as a person. Because, like, we don't even know when she became a nun. Like, within the time, it would have been within reason for people to join a religious order when they were as young as 12 or 14. But the fact that she had also been betrothed suggests that maybe it was a little later. We just don't know. We don't have the detail on any of that.
Fingers crossed.
Yeah. I also went down a rabbit hole of trying to confirm whether the De Luna family that gets a very brief name drop in here is at all connected to the De Luna side of the Nina Otero Warren family that we talked about.
Right.
And I was like, oh, too bad I don't have that book anymore, because I remember there being a family tree, and that would have at least given me more of a starting point than I have right now.
Tracy, you don't memorize every page of every book that you use for research?
No.
What?
And I know not everyone with the last name De Luna is related to anyone else, but, like, this was specifically a very prominent family.
Right. That talked about their lineage from Spain.
Right. Yeah. Right. And how extensive and how high placed many of those folks were. So anyway, maybe I will manage to figure that out. I definitely ran out of time to try to figure out before recording this episode.
We talked about Sonora Webster Carver this week.
We did. I was deeply surprised that you had chosen this one, because you sent me a ping in which you asked if I had her on my list. And wow, did I have a giant soft spot for that movie, which came out when I was, I think, 16. I was extremely into it and just fascinated by Gabrielle Anwar, and was like, wait, Holly is picking one about diving horses? This surprises me.
Yes. Yes. And I'm glad I did, because I will say, reading her autobiography is one of the delights of this year so far for me. That book is so fun. I recommend everyone grab it. You can get a digital version for super cheap. And it is a legitimately very fun read. Like, a lot of times when you and I either check out a book or we buy a new book for research for the show, I would say probably neither of us often reads them cover to cover, right? Mm-hmm. We're kind of looking for the information we need. But in this case, I literally couldn't stop reading. I was like, oh, I'll just read the next chapter. I know this doesn't really have anything to do with the show, but I just want to read it.
Yeah.
Because her writing, and it's written as told to another writer that helped her put the book together. But, like, her tone is so funny. Her descriptions of her mother had me just crying with laughter. I posted a couple of them on Twitter because they made me laugh so hard. But, yeah, it's a super enjoyable one. And there's a... I admitted at the top of it that I had a lot of trepidation about it, because I am one of those people that doesn't like to see animals used in entertainment.
Mm-hmm.
But I won't say that I came around and was like, yes, you should absolutely do this. But I softened about my kind of hard reaction of don't ever do that.
Right.
Again, we're getting it through the lens of people that did this and loved it. But they honestly do all seem, when you read accounts from her sister, things that Doc Carver said, things that she said, it really does seem like they were all very devoted to the animals as well.
Mm-hmm.
And in Doc Carver's case, anybody that ever had any minor injury, like, or more serious injury, like their nose got hurt, their, you know, whatever, he was always like, it's never the horse's fault, it's your fault.
Mm-hmm.
You're the dummy. Which is interesting. And it apparently broke his heart when he would have to take horses out of the show for whatever reason. There was one horse she talked about that just developed some habits that weren't safe anymore. And normally they would, like, theoretically, they would sell the horse, but he couldn't bear to part with it. So they carried this horse with them everywhere to all of their tours, just to stand in its stall and eat and go for rides now and again, like somebody would ride it. And her husband was always, you know, like
before he was her husband, was like, why are we paying this really expensive to keep a horse?
Yeah.
And it's just because you can't bear to sell him. Like, we are a business.
So we've talked before about how I grew up kind of out in the country, and our neighbors had a pasture where they periodically would board horses. And whenever there were horses in that pasture, going to look at the horses was like, so I was so excited about it. And I kept trying to get my parents to get a horse, which was way beyond our financial need, like ability, because horses are expensive. And I was like, but like, we could board the horse with the neighbor. It would be right here. I would take care of the horse.
I think a lot of people had that. I am actually one of those people that never went through a horse fascination as a kid.
Yeah.
I had a friend that jumped horses, and I went with her once, and I was like, this is terrifying. I don't want to be around these animals.
Yeah.
I think they're absolutely beautiful, but they always scared me a little. They're just so large.
They're very big. Yeah. Well, and I was always separated from these ones in the pasture by the fence. You know, the horses could put their head over the fence, but there was a barrier between me and them. So it wasn't until I was a probably in college that I saw and rode on a full-sized adult horse instead of like a pony at the fair or whatever. And it was like, this animal is quite large.
Yeah. It's there are some really, really wonderful passages in her autobiography where she talks about learning just all the basics again without her sight.
Mm-hmm.
And some of which is very, as I said, very funny. She is a very funny woman. And she talked about how we quoted her talking about people always trying to help the blind in a way that actually is in some ways demeaning or hurts her feelings.
Oh, sure.
And she got really upset when one of her friends came over and she was making the bed, and she had only started making the bed again recently at this point. It was pretty early in her recovery after her surgery and her other treatments. And she found out later that she had put the bedspread on upside down and that this friend had not wanted to hurt her feelings by telling her. And it got her so angry about it.
Yeah.
She's like, that's how I'm going to learn and figure this out. Like, people have to be honest with me at all times. The other ones that were honestly very, very funny were her talking about her husband, Al, because he, of course, knew who he was marrying and that she was this very independent person. But she found out a little ways into her post-vision life that he had been secretly moving her food around on her plate for her, like to make sure her fork got into the potatoes and stuff. And she was so furious.
Oh, my goodness.
And of course, he's again trying to help. But she's like, I have to learn how to eat for myself. But she does mention that soup was particularly difficult,
mm-hmm.
and that peaches really eluded her.
They're very slippery.
They're slippery and hard to eat when you can see perfectly well what you're doing. So, but she was really like, she took those challenges. She also talks a lot about how she was always pretty fastidious about her appearance.
Mm-hmm.
And how she did not want that to go away. Like, she was like, I don't want to look like a sloppy mess and have people go, oh, it's okay because she's blind. She's like, no, I want to look as great as I can at all times. And if you see pictures of her throughout her life, she could turn a look. Like, she was always super put together. She always looked perfect. She learned how to apply her makeup, even though she couldn't see. And she would get her husband to just spot check it. But, like, how this... What I really loved, and it was almost kind of inspiring for me to rethink how I handle things, is that she was saying, I've always been fastidious, but I also used to be careless. Like, I would just throw things wherever. I didn't have that approach of, like, everything has its place. And I found that I needed to get really systematic about where I stored things, learning my clothing by touch, where I could be like, I know this is this dress because I have done it. You know, I can feel this button on it. She even started sewing buttons onto her swimsuit. So she had like a code of like, mm-hmm. if it has a button on the right shoulder, that's a red suit. If it has a button on the left leg, that's a blue suit, which is pretty interesting. But it's just a wonderful read. And she's so frank about what was difficult and what came easy to her.
And she has such great humor about it that it's really an enjoyable look at her process and how you realize she was, it's almost a pity that she dropped out of school because she also could have done a million things in academia because she was very smart.
Mm-hmm.
But she found her great love, which was horses, of course.
Right.
But she's, I found myself with great admiration for her by the end of it.
I think I will pick this up and read it myself. Although I do have a soft spot for that movie, the way that they framed her accident and recovery does kind of come off as like inspiration porn, which is not great.
Yeah, she did not like any of that treatment at all.
No.
Like she was like, if my story inspires people, great, but it needs to be my story as it happened.
Right.
And I like that she always, I mean, not long before she lost her sight, she was always very sort of pragmatic. And she recognized, like, it's when she talks about, like, oh, I was doing interviews, but it wasn't about me. I couldn't get a big head. They cared about diving horses. And she talks a lot about her relationship with Doc Carver and how it was all about, like, him kind of testing her for a long time to see if she had, like, the grit it took to do this job, which for a lot of people would be nerve-wracking.
Mm-hmm.
Their relationship fascinates me. He started calling her after she started diving. Up to that point, he had been a little standoffish with her, and she realized it was because he was testing her and didn't want to invest emotionally in her. But once she started diving, he started calling her daddy's girl as her name all the time. And like to her, like that was like the greatest praise she could have ever received. So that relationship that plays out in the press, I think to them, they were father and daughter in a lot of ways. So that's a whole lot to unpack in terms of like the psychology of two people that need each other in that way, that we can't ask questions about it at this point. Is a lot to conjecture about, but it is pretty interesting to read. So thank you for spending time with us this week. We hope that you have a great weekend ahead. If you have time off, we hope that you relax and recharge. And if you don't have time off, we hope that everything goes as smoothly as possible in your days. We will see you here tomorrow with a classic and next week with all new episodes.
Stuff You Missed in History Class is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feeling Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
The wait is almost over. Get ready for the 2024 NFL season as the full schedule is announced. Bring it on. Every rivalry, every rematch, every rookie debut, every game revealed. The 2024 NFL schedule release, presented by Verizon, coming in May. Live on NFL Network, ESPN2, and streaming on NFL Plus. Terms and conditions apply to NFL Plus. Visit NFL.com/schedule-release to learn more.
This is Raquel Willis from Queer Chronicles. Right now, there are close to 500 anti-LGBTQ+ bills in state legislatures across the country. Lambda Legal is leading the charge against these hateful bills that target mostly trans and non-binary people. You can fight discrimination and help write the next chapter of Lambda Legal history. To learn more about their open cases and to donate, visit lambdalegal.org. That's lambdalegal.org.
With the new Dexcom G7, you can achieve better diabetes results without painful fingersticks. It sends your glucose numbers to your compatible phone or watch so you can always see where you are and where you're heading. See how food and exercise affects your glucose, making it easier to spend more time in range and lower your A1C. Take more control of your diabetes with the number one recommended CGM brand. It's easy to get started today at Dexcom.com. That's Dexcom.com.
Dexcom data on file 2023. If your glucose alerts and readings from the G7 do not match symptoms or expectations, use a blood glucose meter to make diabetes treatment decisions. For a list of compatible devices, visit Dexcom.com/compatibility.